Good morning, everyone, and welcome to A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting of A Vision for You. Today we'll be reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 92, the second paragraph. We will be reading six sentences only today. Our readers today are Jan L. on the 12 Steps, Lori T. on the 12 Traditions, Leslie M. will be our reader of the text. Our closing reader is Vanessa G., and our backup reader is Jordan L. The share ID numbers are the following. Yesterday, Tuesday, April 22nd, the 10 a.m. meeting, 22,366. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Wednesday, April 23rd, 22,368. Our newcomer greeter today is Alex K., and Robin P. will share announcements. If you're new, have paper and pen handy. We'd love to get your name and number, and you may want to take down some notes of available sponsors. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jan L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, this is Jan L. in Florida. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Jan, I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm so sorry. Are you, it's a little bit difficult to hear you. Can you adjust something, maybe?
Is this better?
No, not really.
How about that?
Still sounds kind of the same. You sound far away.
Oh, okay. Well, let me make another change. My apologies.
No problem.
Let's see. Okay, I'm speaking directly into my phone.
That is much better. That is much better. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Let me get back. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and thank you for everyone else doing service on this meeting. Pass.
Thank you very much, Jan L. from Florida. I will now ask Lori T. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hey, number one, Lori T. from California. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Lori T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two, and sometimes less, from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting simply requests that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 92, paragraph 2. I will ask Leslie M. to begin reading and sharing for us. Thank you, Leslie.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. I am so grateful for these reminders because when I start talking to somebody new, I want to give them the hope, you know. I want to tell them, yes, you too can have this, blah, blah, blah. But I have to, you know, I have to remember my personal experience. And my personal experience was that I had been in OA for 28 years before I finally got recovered, before I finally hit my bottom and realized that there was nothing that I could do about this problem. That's what I continued to think all those years. I thought it was my job, you know, and I am a stubborn, obviously it took me 28 years. I'm very stubborn. I held on to that because I thought that I needed to do that work. That was mine to do. And, you know, I finally got to the surrender point where I hear people say it all the time. I ran out of myself. I was out of ideas. There was nothing else that I could do. And that was the only way, that gift of desperation was the only way that I was going to, even knowing everything that needed to be done, that I was going to finally say, okay, all right, tell me what to do. I got nothing here. You know, that took me a long, long time to get there. I'm very grateful that it did. You know, but it says, you know, I can continue to talk about the hopelessness. And that's one thing that I do on a regular basis is when I describe myself, I say I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. There was nothing else for me out there. And I did a lot of other things, you know, but I have to remember. And it also says talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. You know, the allergy of the body, I had to have that entire abstinence. And for that first 28 years, I didn't have that either. I had never honestly looked at at the foods that I was eating to see. My sponsor, when I got recovered, said, you know, write up a list of foods. And she saw something on the list that I had never looked at in all those 28 years. And I thought, never? I'm never going to have that again? And, you know, now 7 years later, it doesn't matter to me. You know, it was obviously the key to my getting that entire abstinence so that I could do this work and finally getting an effect from the steps. Because over those years, I had done a lot of step work, but I was still getting the effect from the food at that time, and it didn't work for me. And that's what I really have to share. I often said I was a chronic relapser, but that isn't really true because I had never gotten recovered in all that time. So, and today I know the difference. And I do want to lead with, yay, you can do this, but I have to remember, and they keep reminding us that, you know, we have to deal with the hopelessness of this condition and the fact that it is a fatal malady. And that's all I have for today. Thanks so much. Thanks, Jody, for your service.
And thank you so much, Leslie M. from New York. I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this, on these six sentences, page 92. But before I do, I'll remind us that although we value so much everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Good morning, everyone. This is Ronnie in Missouri. I'd like to share.
Good morning. Is that Ronnie?
Yes, Ronnie B.
Ronnie B. Gotcha, Ronnie. Thank you. Ronnie B. from Missouri. Anyone else?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Susan E., California. 310.
That's a Susan.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Gail
H.
Gail E. Okay, we'll go with that group, Ronnie B., Janice K., Denise, and Gail H. And please let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Oh, thank you. Ronnie B., compulsive overeater in Missouri. So, boy, I was listening this morning, and so many things went through my mind. So starting with, I was in program, I want to say, more than 30 years. I don't know, maybe, truthfully, maybe 40 years before I had back-to-back continued abstinence. And last October was 5 years. And I talked to my sponsor about that, and I'm like, something's got to be wrong here. Like, that cannot be possible. But it is. And if I would hear people say things like this when I was flipping and flopping all those years, I would have to hang up, because I'm like, that can't be true, because it was unbelievable to me that if we do this program one day at a time, back-to-back abstinence and healing can occur. So I was reflecting on what it was like when it was hard for me to get recovered. I started OA. I learned about food plans. I learned about the steps, you know, all of those things. And then one day I went to the store, one day, and I bought a box of 6 ice cream pops, and I was going to have one a day. So that's so out of reach for someone like me. And by the time I drove home, they were gone. In an eating frenzy, it was just one after the other. And by the way, I lived less than 10 minutes. It was literally, if you see fish, or when you throw fat food in the water and they come running, that was me. And so I have no doubt that that can be me. Again, I'm not active doing that today, but that is still me, arrested, right? And when I used to hear, I've recovered, I hated that word, so I'm like, no such thing. But then when I opened up my ears more, I'm recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. I'm not recovered from being compulsive overeater. At least for me, this is just stuff for me. But I could buy that I'm recovered from being hopeless. I don't feel that way. I seldom feel that way in any situation. I was in therapy once, and my therapist said, remember, Ronnie, you might be powerless, but you're not helpless or hopeless. And I'm like, oh, my God, like that was just like a light bulb, huge, huge light bulb. So anyway, I just want to remember that if I keep doing what I'm doing, I will keep getting what I'm getting. And it's all just a bite away. You know, it's just one bite away. So I need to be on my A game in this program. Anyway, thank you all for your service. I appreciate everyone here.
And we appreciate you, Ronnie B. Thank you so much, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Janice K., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, my. Well, let's see. If I am satisfied that he or she is a real addict, how about just figuring out how sick they think they are? We spent last week on page 90, says, get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leaning. We need to know all that before we get started. So that's what we did last week. Last paragraph and this paragraph deal with the basics of step one. It deals with the mental twist, the powerlessness over food, especially as applies to the mental twist. It says, if you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, well, how ready are they? Because we don't work a program of corrective surgery. We do a program of amputation. and not everyone is ready to do what the real and the severely addicted addict needs to be done. The queer mental condition surrounding the first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Yeah, it does. It does. Be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. If he sticks to the idea that they can control their eating, tell them possibly they can if they're not too alcoholic. But if they are like me, they were unable to stop. It wasn't, I just need to learn control. Oh, someday I'll be moderate. I knew I was doomed. But I had to become willing to do the amputation and not try to get through with corrective surgery. Not just bariatric surgery, but I can never be normal again. I will never be able to eat my trigger foods and trigger the substances. They're just gone. And I had to be willing to look at that reality, at the starkness of the first half of step one, that I am powerless over food. I don't get to sugarcoat that. And that's what I have to share with a sponsee when it comes to step one. The hope is that the amputation will take and that I will learn to have a way of life without these things. So that's kind of what I have to say for today. Thank you for listening. It's my best.
And thank you so much for sharing, Janice K. from Oregon. Susan E., please go ahead. It's your turn.
My name is Susan E. I'm from California. I don't have 30 years to try and get this program. I'm 74 years old. I like to think, and I'm going to sound like a newcomer now, that you did make some progress in that period of time. otherwise, I might as well just give up right now. so that's what I have to say. I hope it's not too negative. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan E. from California. I hope you keep coming. Gail H., where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Seattle, Washington.
All right, please go ahead.
All right, good morning. Thank you for my abstinence, a day at a time. One of the things that I heard when I first came into recovery is abstinent today by the grace of God and this program of Overeaters Anonymous. And I think it's such a good reminder about the gift of abstinence, especially, and this is why I so appreciate A Vision for You, especially because, like, so many on the line, but I didn't hear it in the many meetings that I went to before. And that is that in my world, it took 18 years, and it's amazing that it came at all. But it was 18 years of going to meetings, eating, leaving meetings, eating. But every day I went to a meeting, at least that's what I could do at that time, and that was just a gift. But boy, I'll tell you, lately I've been taking my cloak out of the cleaners, and I have been, it's like I have been telling people what to do in various forms, and they have not liked it. And here we are, reminding ourselves that it is our own experience, strength, and hope that, by the way, I'm most ashamed of or was at one time. That is part of the message. And whatever message they give, it's God's will. Mine is my story and my reminder. It's a gift to me to talk about my story. And in the past year, I have been quite unable to function. So many people have been helping me, and they've been most gracious. And this humbleness that not even being able to walk at times or and in and out of one problem after another medically. And of course, I'm 77, and this is not unusual for a life. And it's amazing we have any time whatsoever. And a disease that started way before 9 years old. But my lessons to learn today are to graciously accept those that are so kind at giving and to let go of being the giver, but now the receiver, and be so grateful. But thank
That's
you.
That's time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless
Perfect
you.
Timing. Thank you so much, Gail H. from Washington. All right, if you happen to come in late, we are on page 92, the second paragraph, reading through six sentences of that paragraph. Who else would like to share?
I'll share, Jody. It's Sherry M.
Sherry M. Thank you, Sherry.
Alicia R. in Nevada.
Alicia R. in Nevada.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Robin P. in Houston.
Robin P. All right. Sherry, Alicia, Jordan, and Robin. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Hi, Jody. Okay, Sherry M., and I'm a real compulsive overeater in recovery, abstinent, working the steps. Again, I'm grateful for my experience. This paragraph and this whole chapter is so important. You know, I have everywhere in this chapter, don't push, don't prod, just my statement. I actually had a call yesterday from a friend's wife who is in my other program. You know, she needs to stop drinking, right? So this applies to this paragraph, even though we can just substitute eating. And she called me, and I tried to ask questions like, well, why are you wanting to go to AA? You know, like what has something happened? You know, like what, trying to find out what the bottom is. I think it's really interesting to go deeper, because sometimes people will just say, yes, I need to manage this. And that's not being done, right? That's managing. That's having one more try. So to get a feel for what people are saying. And I appreciate when people spend time with me, and so many people. And I also just, again, I'm just echoing because it's so true. And even though we hear this really is the hardest program. The amount of turnover, the amount of people, including myself, my own experiences, I must have gone through the steps in this program, like with really qualified, amazing sponsors, over 10, maybe 10 people. 10 women, and still that's not enough, you know. So I feel like in this program, you do hear about this,
or they go back to the food, then they come back, and then they go back, and it's a deeper surrender. In other programs, usually when someone's done, they're not bouncing around. You don't hear stories of, I worked with 20 sponsors in AA. It's usually sponsor for life there. And that's, you know, just my experience and what I've seen. So this program is a lot harder, but I can tell you that everybody who's ever spent time with me trying to give me the message, they stayed abstinent. Like, that's the whole point, right? I may not have, but they did. And not only that, but I, you know, developed a friendship with them so I could always go back to them. I think that's also the most important thing, is that we don't push, we don't prod. We keep an open door, and so many people I have gone back to because they were loving but honest. I think the best thing we can do for people, I know this has been most recently done to me, is working with someone who's not afraid to be honest, because that honesty is a life. So the truth is, there's only really one solution, right? I mean, there's this is what it is, or I'm probably going to die. Like, that's what it says in our book. If I don't follow these precise instructions and I've identified that I'm a real compulsive overeater, I have nowhere to go. And there will be no hope for me to live a good life. So thank you so much for letting me share, and have a good rest of your meeting.
Thank you so much for sharing. Sherry M. from Wyoming. Alicia R., please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, Alicia R., compulsive overeater in Nevada. And what this paragraph makes me think about is the, you know, I have this selfish character defect that ends up on my nightly inventory. Sometimes, actually, it was just last night that it ended up on there, wanting to be the savior, right, of the newcomer. And that's not what the goal is here, right? That's God's, that's my higher power's job. My job is just to share my experience, strength, and hope with the newcomer. And actually, in most cases, I try to keep the focus on them when I'm talking to a newcomer and ask them about where they're at and where things are going. And, you know, the first few answers are usually like, oh, you know, I'm okay, or there's, you know, it's kind of a general, right? And it can take a little bit of back and forth before we feel comfortable enough to share some of the things that we're struggling with, or sometimes we're, you know, ready to just pour it out. But whatever the case may be, I find that, you know, keeping the focus on them, it, you know, that's how I can identify the hopelessness with them, right? And then I can relate to them and be like, yeah, I remember that, you know, and this is what I went through as well. And you know, but again, remembering that it's all in my higher power's hand, what they hear, what they need to hear. I've had the experience of being a speaker, and, you know, I'll share my story and I'll have people come up to me, and what they heard and what I said are two completely different things, but it doesn't matter because they heard exactly what they needed to hear. And that was such a revelation to me. Like, you know, God's in charge of all of that, and the message is passed to them exactly how they need it. And, you know, and there was something else I wanted to say. Keeping the focus on them, being the savior. I guess that's it. That's all I got. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Alicia R. from Nevada. Jordan, please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jody. Thanks for moderating this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with a bunch of other compulsive overeaters. This is right where I need to be. And I'm really glad to know that today. Like, no one convinced me of that. The food is the great convincer, you know? my alcoholic foods brought me to my knees, and they are what convinced me that I need to be here today. Because there was most definitely a time in the past where I had come to Overeaters Anonymous, and I didn't know that.
I was not convinced of that. And I went back out to figure out how to do this on my own. The idea of following a food plan, the idea of being like a full grown adult and not being able to decide. Oh, am I muted? What happened?
I think someone unmuted Jordan, but I don't hear them now.
Okay. So the idea that I could not make food decisions for myself, that was a really hard idea for me to accept when I first got here. I was like, hell no. No one's going to tell me what to eat. And so I had to go back out there, and I had to try to do this on my own. And that experience is what convinced me 100%. I'm fully confident today, more than I ever have been, more than I was yesterday, that I am a compulsive overeater and I need to be here. And not only that, but working through the steps and having the experience of working with other compulsive overeaters has actually gotten me to a point where I'm grateful to be a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful for this way of life today. It's turned out to be a really beautiful thing. But again, no one could convince me of anything when I got here. I needed to have that experience for myself, which is why today I don't try to convince anyone of anything. I'm not here to say, I'm not here to convince anyone of anything. They gotta know this for themselves. They gotta have the experience for themselves, right? I'm just here to listen, to ask them questions, and to share my experience. That's it. It really is that simple. I don't always keep it that simple. I tend to be a complicated person, but I try to remember over and over and over again to keep it simple like that. Doing that has worked. Like, this is working. It's keeping me abstinent, you know? And keeping me engaged with sponsees. Like, that's really the key here. Is my own engagement. Working with sponsees is my own engagement in recovery. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Jordan L. from Colorado. Robin P.
Thank you, Jody. Hi, I'm Robin. A very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Houston, Texas. And just so grateful to be on a meeting today. The thing that I'm so grateful for is that I've sponsored quite a few people, and it's such a blessing when someone's willing and they're just done. And it's so joyful. It's one of my favorite things in the world is to work with someone who's ready. And when they're not ready, there's nothing I can do. And if I want recovery more for them than they want it for themselves, it just doesn't ever work. And when someone wants it, it completely works. And I don't even have to try very hard at all. I just get to show up and share what I, pass it on. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite times of the day. I'm so grateful. They bless me so much, and they'll say, thank you so much. And I feel like, thank you. Oh my gosh. It's just such a gift. I also wanted to say I'm grateful that we're in Houston, and thank you for all your prayers. And the dogs are here with us, and it was 23 hours of going through stuff just to get them here with us, and angels just kept showing up, and I could feel everyone's prayers. And I'm so grateful we got to save their lives. We tried for a year and a half to find them a home because no one could take them. And so now we get to see where we're meant to give them away. Take them with us. So I'm just praying for God, knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out in all my affairs, and keep remembering that I'm in God's care and that I'm powerless over everything. That first step, even when I'm working with somebody, every time that they say something, I think, me too, I am completely powerless over people, places, and things, and food. And if I try to be powerful over anything, it never works. It only works for me to surrender my will and my life over to the care of God.
and pray only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. And I get to keep practicing because there's so many things that happen in life where I just get to keep practicing that. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful for my God squad. And I love this meeting. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P., and best of luck for your dogs. So we have time for two or three more shares. Who would like to share?
Andy, New York.
Who was that from New York?
Ann B.
And there was someone else.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. Okay, let's go with you two, beginning with Ann. Please go ahead, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann B., Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 20 years. And I've been thinking about this business of working with others. I have a mild autism spectrum disorder, and, you know, that impairs my ability to work with others, and it impairs their ability to work with me. And that's a challenge. I would like to work with others. It's nice, but I think I don't really have what they're looking for in terms of soft, fuzzy relationship. It's interesting, somebody was talking about friendship. And, you know, for many years I thought it was inappropriate to be friends with a sponsee because I thought it was supposed to be kind of a neutral, almost professional relationship. And I think I'm sort of evolving on that. But this business of what Bill W. used to do, he used to go out and try to find alcoholics in the wild, right? Just like the streets, the hospitals, whatever. And in my case, I have never done that. Well, once I did, but it wasn't very effective. I mostly have waited for people to ask me in a meeting. So when they've come, they already must think that they have some issues. But this business of accepting that one is powerless. I mean, for me, I had been observing my food and dieting behaviors for many years when I came to the conclusion that I was powerless. I saw that if I had something in the morning, I was more likely to want it in the afternoon as opposed to less likely, so it wasn't satisfying me, it was triggering me. And when I tried to stop one of my worst trigger foods, I saw that I was thinking about it obsessively for a long period of time. You know, and I saw that, you know, I was coming up with these weird excuses to stop diets that were working. You know, and so I've been observing this behavior for years. So when I came, I was persuaded that I was an addict. And, you know, that was sort of a gift. And a lot of people come and they have trouble. They're still in the place of having trouble admitting that they're powerless. And I, you know, this is a self-diagnosed disease. If you're not sure you're powerless, I don't know if you're powerless. Maybe you aren't. I don't know. So I think that's sort of tricky, this business of, are they powerless and are they going to accept it? And
that's time.
All right, I will pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ann B. from New York. Sherry H.M., where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. calling, recovered, calling from Washington State. This is really powerful to realize, you know, that we have an illness, that they have an illness. And, but today it seems like, well, it's hopelessness. This is utter, utter hopelessness without the solution. And But I have to remember, too, that this book says that we can, with our higher power's help, get food neutrality. And when I came back, I came into the program for the first time, I thought, well, other people have that food neutrality, but, you know, that'll never be me. They don't know how, you know, my love affair with chocolate or whatever. And I just was so, so gratefully surprised and so blessed that upon doing this work and focusing on the one day at a time, not focusing on, oh, I'm never going to have blah, blah for the next 60 million years, I don't think I would have made it then, but with my higher power's help, I'm blessed to have food neutrality almost all the time, unless there's something eating at me. And so I have to work on, you know, what's eating at me. So it's just an absolute miracle. There is hope. And I love how this book says there is a solution. I know some people think, oh, there's many solutions, but for me, I've been there, done that, got 26 shirts of other, you know, places and things that I've tried. But I'm so grateful to God because for me there is a solution and it's with my higher power and that there is food neutrality. So thank you so much and I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. We have time for a one-minute share. Would someone like to share briefly?
Hi, this is Sarah. If you may be heard?
Yes, I can hear you. Please go ahead. Yeah. Say your name again.
This is Sarah N. from Washington.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much. I love waking up in this fellowship with all the amazing shares, getting 12-step every day. I'm super grateful to have been able to admit my own powerlessness over compulsive overeating. And I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater today by the grace of God and a wonderful sponsor in this fellowship and the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I just encourage anyone who might be struggling to just keep showing up, keep listening, reaching out, leave your name, number, and we're all here for you. I just love that so many people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And, yeah, I'm just grateful for the hand of fellowship that's been extended to me over and over and that there's always someone there to help. And glad I was willing to take the necessary steps to recover one day at a time from this illness. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah N. from Washington. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I am going to call on Jordan L., our backup reader, to read that for us, if you're there, Jordan. A Vision for You, page 164.
Hey, Jody Ann, sorry. I wasn't expecting that. Let me find my Big Book. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, Jordan.
There we go. We get a Big Book right here. Okay. 164. God help me. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.
May God bless you and keep you until then.